Hey Eco Heroes, if your house is getting overrun with your kids' toys and you just know that there's got to be an easier way to get on top of them and entertain your kids, well then this week's episode is for you.
Welcome to the Eco Chat Podcast. I'm your host, Laura Trotter, and I'm here to show you how you can create an eco-ceptional life you love without compromising your lifestyle. Tune in for inspiring interviews with real-life eco-heroes, plus my own theories, thoughts, and tips for sustainable living. I'm all about making green mainstream, and I'd love to help you on your eco-journey. So let's get started.
Relatives and your family friends are anything like mine, they're really well-meaning, and you know, they often give piles and piles of toys to your kids for birthdays and Christmases and things like that. So can a baby or young kids really have too many toys? Well, you know, I think they surely can, and I'm not sure if it's the comparative cheaper price of toys nowadays, parents working longer hours, or the fact that kids spend a lot more time indoors than those of, you know, the time and generations when we were growing up. But kids these days really seem to have a lot more toys than those of older generations did. You obviously know that I live in Australia, and it's actually been estimated here that around $1 billion is spent in Australia annually on retail toy sales. So with that in mind, it's not surprising that many homes and landfills are simply just bursting at the seams with toys. But it's not just the actual toy itself, you know, that's the issue here. Often it's all the packaging and the batteries and everything that comes along with the toys that can be just as big an environmental issue than the toy itself. So there are actually many environmental issues associated with toys. And I don't really, you know, I don't want to be a party pooper here and, you know, go out and say kids can't have toys and blah, 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 blah. But that's not the case at all. It's just good to be aware of the environmental issues associated with toys. So you're a lot more mindful when you're buying toys, or you're looking at different options for gifts for your baby and your young children. So the environmental issues of toys. So firstly, many commercial toys are designed to be short-lived, and they're easily broken and discarded soon after purchase. So there's the waste issue there. Secondly, most modern toys are made from plastic, of which oil and non-renewable resource is the main component. So there's a bit of a consumption issue happening there. Thirdly, approximately 75% of the world's toys are produced in China, and most toys sold in Australia and the Western world have therefore travelled great distances from where they're manufactured to our homes, which isn't without its environmental impact in itself. And of course, the boxes and the tyres to hold the toy in place and the plastic wrapping the toys are packaged in are discarded as soon as the toy is opened as well. So another waste issue there. But lastly, so many toys rely on batteries to run, and these are also an environmental issue. Now in Australia, we import something like 267 million disposable batteries and around about 50 million rechargeable batteries a year, which is just mind-blowing. However, the greatest environmental concern surrounding batteries is the impact they have at the end of their lives. So Australia really hasn't embraced battery recycling too much at all, and it's estimated that over 90% of dead batteries end up in landfill. And that's where the most serious problems start, as batteries contain heavy metals, and when they're disposed in this manner, toxins such as nickel and cadmium can leach into our environment. Now, several years ago when I was working as an environmental consultant, I would be monitoring the groundwater around municipal landfills in our towns. And, you know, I tell you what, it's not great quality. So definitely it's not just batteries that are ending up in those landfills, but just be mindful of all the things that we're throwing in our waste stream. They end up somewhere, and batteries are definitely one of them. And of course, a lot of our toys these days are running on batteries. So it all does sound pretty wasteful. Hey, now, as you know, I've got two young boys, and I'm not about being a party pooper here at all, because, you know, I can't sit with my boys and play with them as much as I'd love to play with them every single minute of the day. I've got a house to run, jobs to do, and, you know, a business to run as well. So let's have a chat now about other play alternatives for babies and toddlers and young children instead of relying on commercial toys. So firstly, I'd encourage parents to try and create play from the everyday. So kitchen cupboards often hide the very best toys in the house, and both my sons have loved playing with the lids on the saucepans, matching lids to different colours and size plastic containers. That's a perfect game for, you know, around about an 18-month-old. They love doing that. Or even stacking the mixing bowls and measuring cups inside each other. A Tupperware cupboard can easily keep your kids entertained long enough to, so that you can cook dinner in peace. And even babies love shaking a ring of measuring spoons, like rattle style. And it's not just babies. You know, my youngest is 3 at the moment, and he keeps getting into my utensils drawer. He's got a toy kitchen, but some of those toys end up in his bedroom. And it's only just this morning that I took my 4 measuring cups back out of his bedroom to put in my kitchen. But he also had a few other things, wooden spoons and whisks and things like that there as well. It is possible to create play from the everyday and, you know, cooking and having little bands made out of saucepans and cymbals out of the lids. You know, you can make a lot of fun just from the kitchen alone. Now, cardboard boxes, they're another great thing to play with. They can easily be turned into cubby houses, trains, tunnels, or boats. And seriously, they can provide hours and hours of entertainment. Yeah, just pop a couple of cardboard boxes in front of your kids and see what they can come up with. And of course, what toddler doesn't want to follow you around when you're doing housework? It might take a little longer, but get them involved every now and then. They soon turn into good little helpers. Even if you're just doing something simple like putting the towels away in the cupboard, just hand a couple to them and they'll follow you around, and sooner than later, they can learn how to do some housework too. Or at least, you know, that's my aim. So that's the first one. Try and create play from the everyday. Get your kids involved in what you're doing and try and have a little bit of fun in doing so. Secondly, try and get outside a little more. Many kids these days are nature deprived. You don't have to go to a national park or even leave your backyard to play with sticks, roll in the grass, make mud pies, and jump in puddles. Thirdly, try your hand at eco-craft. Now, both my sons have enjoyed activities like water painting and making collages from old magazines, or even natural items like leaves, gum nuts, feathers, and sand. And water painting, if you haven't heard of it, it's awesome. You just get a little bucket, fill it up with water, give your child a paintbrush and send them outside, and you tell them they can paint anything they want. And you'll see, particularly toddlers around about 2 or even 3 years of age, they love it. They can just paint the house and paint everything with water and it dries and, you know, they have a ball. And lastly, you can still have all the latest toys and give others another lease of life if you join a toy library or even check out your local garage sales. Now, I'm a big fan of toy libraries, because you get to take the toy back when your child gets sick of it. So it's a double win-win there, because you don't have a house just getting overrun with toys and having to do that toy cull once or twice a year as well. Okay, so if you're a parent and you're starting to feel a little bit overwhelmed by the large amounts of toys that you're accumulating, I'm going to go through a couple of my best tips now for stopping this from occurring in the first place. Because as I've just mentioned about that toy cull, it can be a bit of a pain to do it, and we're all busy and just constantly keeping on top of items in our home and moving them on. If we can try and avoid some of that or reduce it in the first place, you know, we're going to be a little bit happier, hey? Like many families with young children, the majority of our toy collection has come from well-meaning grandparents, aunties, and uncles. In fact, just for, say, one birthday for one of my sons, he typically will get over 10 presents from different family members. And that's not even including us, so just uncles and aunties and grandparents. It's very easy to see how it can get out of control really quickly. But we actually don't live near our family. Like, my family is a couple thousand kilometers away, and my husband's family is still only 600 kilometers away, but it's still far enough that they just, you know, don't really get up here to visit. It's a long way for people who aren't used to traveling that distance. So it's not surprising that they show their love for our kids through gifts. So how can we get around this a little bit more? How can we be a little bit smarter about it? Now, I have some friends from larger families where they just buy for one niece or nephew at birthdays and Christmas times, kind of like a Kris Kindle arrangement in the family. Others, like my family, my side of the family, we've got a price limit, and we try just to buy one quality item rather than a selection of cheaper toys. But ideally, I tell you what my wish is, what's the thing that I love the most. Of course, it's got nothing to do with my kids want, you know, they just want Lego and Octonauts and Wiggles gear all the time. What I really like and what suits me, so I get this a lot for my own personal gifts. I love giving and I love receiving experiences. So, for example, for my kids, rather than, you know, them getting inundated with toys every birthday and Christmas. And by the way, my oldest son was born in December, so he's got Christmas and birthday at once. So he gets thumped with toys come December. But what I'd love for him to receive sometimes as well is experiences like zoo outings, concert tickets, you know, the gift of time. So perhaps if we lived a little bit closer to our relatives where they could easily spend quality time with our children, this one may be a little bit easier to achieve. In the meantime, they tend to get a lot of toys, but as they get older, hopefully they can go on a few more outings with their relatives and grandparents and things like that as well. As for me, I guess I don't really receive toys and everything for my birthday and Christmas, but my mum's really cottoned on to the fact that I like giving and receiving experiences, and she does too. So this Christmas coming up, she's bought me tickets to see The Seekers, and we're going together, and given I only see her a couple of times a year, it's going to be a fantastic present. Okay, so over to you. I'd love you to hit me up in social media or responding to this podcast and let me know, what are your best tips for keeping on top of the toy invasion in your homes? What are your best tips for choosing eco-friendly toys or just reducing consumption and use of toys in the first place? Have you got some great eco-play ideas or getting out into nature ideas that you do with your kids? So you can just follow me on Facebook at lauratrotter.com or Instagram as well, lauratrotter.com, and share, tag me there and let me know some of your best eco play ideas and just how you keep on top of the mountains of toys that are coming into your household. I'd love to know. If you've also enjoyed this podcast, I'd love it if you could leave a review in iTunes and basically tell all your friends and shout out to the world and get them to come over and listen to me at EcoChat at lauratrotter.com. Where I share heaps of fantastic eco-living tips and tricks, and I'll be interviewing a huge range of some of my favourite eco-heroes to share their best eco-living tips with you as well. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Now go out there and help make green mainstream.
Thanks for listening to the EcoChat podcast. I'm Laura Trotter. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd love you to subscribe, share with your friends, and leave a review in iTunes. And if you're keen to continue the conversation, head on over to my website, lauratrotter.com, where you can also pick up your free copy of my e-guide, 11 Steps to Ecofy Your Home and Your Life. Catch you there.